You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. So you'll hear a little bit from Drew Brees coming up at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. This was not Drew Brees' fault, let me just be clear. We recorded this last week at the Super Bowl. PR handler came up to me and said, oh, would you want to chat with Drew Brees? I was like, absolutely, I'll talk to Drew Brees. I got about three questions off to Drew Brees before they tried to pull him off the set. And we just cut the audio there because it's like the PR, he's got to go, he's got to go. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, why'd you even bring him over? And then he gets his plug in and then runs off. And to Drew's credit, Drew realized the whole thing was a sham. Like, he even stood up and was and said to me, I apologize about that quick interview. Like, it's not me. Like, it was definitely the PR handlers just because they had him overbooked. But this was unsolicited. I was just sitting there minding my own business, and someone comes up to us. They go, would you like to have Drew Brees on? I said, absolutely. So since we're on in New Orleans in this hour, I said, okay, I want to share that audio, just the two-minute part of it. It's not like anything crazy happened after that. Like, I think I stood up after he walked away, and I said to Hickey, I don't think I said this. I know I said this. What a bleeping joke that was. But let me be crystal clear. It was not Drew Brees' fault whatsoever. He was classy about it. Even when the PR rep tried to cut me off, they continued to answer the question. He continued to answer the question before giving the plug. But if that was live on the air, I know I would have lost my bleep. But since it was recorded and then we were going to play it back, it was like, all right, I couldn't even be that I was mad, but I couldn't be that mad because it was 2 minutes and, like, Theodore, you got up. It's 2 minutes and 19 seconds. So what are we doing? Like, I get it. The guy sat down and you let him stick around for 8 to 10 minutes on Radio Row, but when it's 2 minutes and 19 seconds, why even waste my time? It's just crazy that that happened. But that's why there's a lot of good PR people in this business. But when you have a run-in with a bad PR person, just nightmares. And there's a video I posted. You could see the video on my Twitter page, at Zach Gelb, because I wanted to post the part about him talking about his former coach, Sean Payton, taking the Broncos job and trying to fix Russell Wilson. One of the PR handlers, and they didn't tell me there was like a time limit or anything. Like, they just said, you want Drew Brees on? Like, you know, Radio Row interviews are like 10 minutes or less pretty much. Because especially when you have big stuff, they got to go table to table. One of the PR handlers, like the middle of me asking a question, starts tapping me on the shoulder as we're recording this. Which is just stupid.
All right, Zach, wrap it up.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was crazy. Like, I looked, I'm like, did I just get tapped on the shoulder? It was two ladies and then this one guy who, like, comes running around the corner like, he's got to go. Like, give me a break.
And then Drew Brees is just as calm as possible.
Oh, like, nice guy.
Now, if I were him, I would have told them, like, straight out, like, listen, I'm fine here. I would not, if I were Drew Brees, I would have, like, stepped in that
Well,
situation.
Here's the thing.
Because so that was just ridiculous.
This is how these things work. You're right in thinking that, and he kind of realized it was wrong because he even got up. He's like, I really apologize for that. Like, he knew it was wrong, and he's done 1,000 interviews. What happens is you get booked on Radio Row through a prop. Like, a company pays you to go there and speak about their product and answer football questions. But it's not like he's scheduling the tour. It's these PR people where I think they had an opening, so they came over to us and said, Zach, we want you on. You guys are CBS Sports Radio. We want you to have Drew Brees, all that. And then I guess someone else that he was going to, I think it was the NFL Network, said, oh, we're ready for him now. And a lot of these PR people you would think would have people skills, but they just don't, and they don't realize how bad it looks. Like, when I got interrupted on the Zoom with Aaron Donald did nothing wrong. He just didn't want to answer my questions, but he was at least still, like, giving answers. And then it was after the helmet swinging thing, and then the PR person just pops up on the Zoom and goes, Zach, Aaron Donald's here to talk about Dr. Teals. So these things happen. I'm kind of immune to them at this point. Like, and it's never really the athlete's fault. Like, when we had Kenny the Jet Smith on, his PR person at the time, who I don't think works with him anymore, was like a complete jerk. He said, oh, you were over your allotted time. I'm like, I have the interview. You said we got 12 minutes. We are at like 9 minutes and 38 seconds or something like that. and they just disconnected the line. But in this case, it was the last interview we did. I was sitting there minding my own business, and a PR person came up to me. They go, oh, would you like to have Drew on? Yeah. If they would have said you only had 5 minutes, I'd get that. But they didn't say anything like that. And I get it if it was a long interview and he's got to run, but I asked three questions.
I thought it was bad when they interrupted you on the Zoom. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But to in person, someone tap you on the shoulder, like, say, hey, you want to talk to Drew Brees? All right. That's enough.
Sure.
All right, NFL Network needs them.
Yeah, like
sorry, radio guy, your time's up.
It's ridiculous. Or if I'm the PR person there, he's got to go to the NFL Network. We'll come back to you, or do something like that. You know, we'll bring him back to make good on it. So, it's a joke. You have 95% of the PR people on Radio Row happen to be good PR people, but each and every year there's like 5% that are bad apples, and these three bozos, because that's what they were. It was these two girls and this one guy. All three of them are bozos that have no people skills.
Do you think these are like his regular PR people?
No.
Or, no.
Not a just, shot. Not yeah, a shot. It's whoever was promoting the brand.
Like, he would have to get new PR people.
Yeah.
That can't happen all the time.
It was stupid. And this isn't in the clip, but they give you a one-sheeter. Like, they gave me a one-sheeter of this is what he's promoting. And then as I'm about to say, all right, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I got tapped on the shoulder. Do you know what he's promoting? Like, yeah, you just gave me the one-sheeter.
Oh, my God.
So it's crazy. But we don't need to embarrass anyone any further. But I was close to just posting the whole clip of me standing up and just saying, like, this was bleeping ridiculous.
I think you really should, honestly.
Nah, it's whatever. It is what it is. If it was live on the air, I would have. It was our last interview of the week. Even though we were not in the wrong, if it was live on the air, I would have had no other choice because we're not going to be a whorehouse for just products being promoted. Like, if that was live on the air and you're just trying to get your cheap plug for 20 seconds, that's not happening. I would have had to, in a weird spot, like, cut Drew Brees off and say, you're not promoting it. Since it was on tape, I was like, whatever. Yeah, it is what it is.
I got to give you credit. You remained very calm as that lady was tapping you on the shoulder.
Well, at first, and like, I'm a large man. When, like, someone tapped me on the shoulder, I was like, what? And then he kept on answering the question. And then I was asking, like, I realized they wanted to go. I had one more question to ask. And then he's got to go. He's got to go. And they were cutting him off during the read. So
it's like they were whisking him off like he was the president.
Yeah. Like, geez, Louise. So anyway, we'll play you some of that audio coming up later. It's just, I'm not playing any of like the crazy stuff. We'll just talk about the crazy stuff. I'm just playing you about the part about him talking about the Broncos. And Sean Payton and also Russell Wilson. So we'll play that coming up in about 10 minutes from now. But anyway, I want to go to the 49ers. And this has to be maybe one of the biggest storylines of the offseason. And Brady retiring, I thought after the title game injury to Brock Purdy, there was a chance that Brady was going to go to the 49ers this offseason. But now with Brady retiring, and I do think that this is a legit retirement, unlike last year, and he's not coming back. Now, if there's an injury 4 or 5 weeks into the season, like things like that could change. But I don't think we'll have an announcement in the summer. Breaking news, Tom Brady is coming out of retirement. But for the 49ers, you clearly got two ways to go. It's either Trey Lance or Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy, in a limited sample size, has done more on a football field in the NFL than Trey Lance has ever done. Now, Trey Lance had that one good year at North Dakota State, then COVID wiped out his final year. His first year, it was not designed for him to play. This year, he was supposed to be the starter, and then he had the unfortunate injury. The dilemma that the Niners have is, and this is the part that I struggle with. I do think John Lynch really does believe in Trey Lance, but I don't know how much Kyle Shanahan actually believes in Trey Lance. And I think Kyle Shanahan, even though John Lynch says, if Kyle didn't want to draft him, we would never have drafted him, like he had to say there. I think he was really talked into drafting Trey Lance. And I've shared this theory before, but Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan are best friends. They have like matching tattoos. And I'll never forget this, because this was the first like major speculation once that move was made where the Niners moved up to get the third spot. And we all knew that one was going to be Trevor Lawrence, two was going to be Zach Wilson to the Jaguars and the Jets. Chris Sims was the first person to say, I think this move was made to go trade for Mac Jones. Now, if this was just any Tom, Dick, and Harry TV analyst that was like, oh, I think this move was made to go trade for Mac Jones, to go draft Mac Jones, all right, that's an opinion, but it doesn't really mean that it's definitely going to happen. The fact that it's Chris Sims, who is like literally best friends with Kyle Shanahan, I think that was Chris Sims knowing who Kyle Shanahan preferred in the draft process that was going to be available, knowing that Lawrence and also knowing that Zach Wilson was off the board. Now, whatever happened since then, and it seemed like the decision was, and this has been talked about before, between Mac Jones and Trey Lance, they ended up going with Trey Lance. But even though that ended up being the end result, there was, in my opinion, hesitation at first by Kyle Shanahan to draft Trey Lance. And now when you're going into year number three of his NFL career and he's either been hurt or you have not handed over the keys to him to be the starter, maybe in Kyle Shanahan's mind, it pops up of him thinking, huh, maybe I was right. Maybe we should have gone with someone else. Not saying that Mac Jones is a slam dunk either. So I don't know how all in Kyle Shanahan is with Trey Lance. With that being said, though, the organization did trade all those draft picks to go get him. And then you look at what Brock Purdy did. He was Mr. Irrelevant, and he was extremely relevant down the stretch. The Purdy injury kind of throws off the plan, because heading into the NFC title game, if we put out a poll question, who's starting for the Niners next year, everyone would have said Brock Purdy. The majority of people, the overwhelming majority of people would have said Brock Purdy. But once Purdy goes down, and he may not be able to return now with this elbow injury until August, let's say, it does open that door for Trey Lance to go win the job. Because you don't know how much Purdy's going to be able to be a part of the competition. Either way, it would not surprise me if we end up seeing both quarterbacks next year. Not that you should have a platoon system, but if they start with Lance and then Lance doesn't play well, you go to Purdy. Or if you start the year off with Purdy, then if Purdy comes back down to earth, then you go back to Trey Lance. But they got to find the long-term answer. Because you never know how long your window's going to last in this league. And we know the Niners have an incredible roster. They have a tremendous defense led by Nick Bosa. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you got Run CMC. You got Deebo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk's been really good. You got a good offensive line. You need a quarterback, though. And I know Jimmy G was your quarterback when you got to a Super Bowl. I know Jimmy G was a quarterback when you got to the other NFC title game. I know Brock Purdy started when you got to the other NFC title game. But you keep on showing that there's a limit where you could go. Like, you get really, really, really close to hoisting up that Lombardi. But until you have your legit quarterback that you actually believe in, and they clearly ran out of that belief in Jimmy G, I don't know where that belief is with Trey Lance. And there was starting to become that belief with Brock Purdy, but then he gets hurt. Until you say, okay, this is our guy, and you know that, or you plan for him and you think, and then you see results that suggest that he's going to be the guy for the foreseeable future, I do ultimately think that you'll get moments like the fourth quarter up against the Rams in the NFC title game, or what happened in Philadelphia 3 weeks ago, or you get to the Super Bowl, even with the lead when Jimmy G was out playing Mahomes, and then in the fourth quarter, the final 8 minutes, you end up losing that lead. That roster's so good, that coaching staff is so good, that you could get down to the one-yard line and look like you're going to win the Super Bowl, but then not having the guy holds you back, because it's so tough to win without a quarterback that's a difference maker in this league. It rarely happens when you win and you don't have a strong quarterback, you don't have a quarterback play a great game in the postseason in a Super Bowl, you know, to win a Lombardi Trophy. You win like one game here or there. You can win a game or two in the postseason. But to win three, to win four games in the playoffs, you're going to need a quarterback to be great in at least one of those games. And you see that is the problem with the 49ers, where they keep on coming up short, is that they don't have their guy. Maybe it's Purdy, maybe it's Lance, but that to me is a major storyline this offseason. Who's starting week one? And then how are we going to talk about it like halfway through the season, 8 or 9 weeks into the year? It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will get into some of the biggest storylines that we look at this offseason. And one of those, we've already seen some answers. Russell Wilson's new coach is Sean Payton. When you come on back, you will hear about 2 minutes and 19 seconds, to be exact, of Drew Brees with us last week on Radio Row that we have not aired yet, talking about the Denver Broncos' new coach and what he's going to be able to do with the quarterback in Russell Wilson.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We got some defensive coordinating news in the NFL. Nothing official yet, but it's trending in that direction. So, we know today officially it was announced that Vic Fangio is going to be the defensive coordinator in Miami, and he's going to the Dolphins, where he will be the DC there to team up with Mike McDaniel. Now, the part that I did not know, and that we found out about this during Super Bowl week, is that Vic Fangio used to be the coach of the Broncos. He was hired by the Eagles to help prepare for the Super Bowl. Today, it was talked about beforehand, but it officially gets announced that he's going to the Dolphins. But that's not the big news I'm talking about. Here is the news, and it has to involve the Broncos defensive coordinator. So Sean Payton is the new head football coach there. Ian Rappaport just tweeted out, comeback question mark, Rex Ryan has emerged as a top candidate for the Broncos defensive coordinating job. Per Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo, Ryan has been on ESPN after being fired by the Bills in 2016. If all goes well, he could be headed back to the NFL. Now, you remember Rex Ryan was the head coach of the Jets and the head coach of the Bills. The last time Rex Ryan was defensive coordinator in the league, 2008. With the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I don't think it's a bad hire. I don't think you forget how to coach. He's been plugged into the league still on a desk at ESPN. I was not expecting that news. So if things go all well and all goes well, you could have Sean Payton as the head coach. He's already there in Denver. And your defensive coordinator could be Rex Ryan. So potentially Sexy Rexy back on a sideline with the Denver Broncos. And only more intrigue and excitement and buzz about the Broncos continues in this offseason. You got Russ last year. This past year, it was a disaster. Then you get rid of Nathaniel Hackett, and then you find a way to give up all these assets, and you pay, and you give up a king's ransom for Sean Payton. And now your defensive coordinator is going to be the big name of Rex Ryan. This is either going to be a great redemption story for the Denver Broncos, or it's just going to be an absolute disaster. And you look at that division, like no one's touching Kansas City. But that, like those spots 2 through 4 are up for grabs. Like right now, I think the Chargers are the second best team in the AFC West. I put the Broncos right now 3, and then you put the Raiders at 4. But if the Raiders pull off and execute this trade for Aaron Rodgers, I would give the edge to the Raiders over the Broncos for that 3 spot. So just when you thought, okay, maybe things would settle down for the Broncos, they're going out there and they hire Rex Ryan. And I've always said this. The last few years when Rex was on TV, I've always thought if he was coming back to coaching, and I don't think this is a bad hire, let me be clear, but it would be that he's going to college. Because even though Rex did a nice job with the Jets, he got 2 AFC title games. I always have thought after the Bills job that Rex would be really good for the college game. But you just see the addiction of these coaches. And I don't know why. I don't know if he ever had a shot to go to college. But you know where the addiction is. This guy has been on ESPN since 2016. We know he's been a head coach in 2 different places. But then he also has been a defensive coordinator since 2008. Gets an opportunity from Sean Payton potentially. And now he's the favorite and could be the leader in the clubhouse for that job. So real quickly, as we start to get into offseason mode, before we play this little quick excerpt with Drew Brees, who's the most intriguing team in the offseason in each division? Like, I start out with the AFC East. I do think it's the Jets because we don't know who's going to be the Jets quarterback next year. Like, the Bills, you got to add a running back. You got to have more commitment to running the football. The Dolphins, I think Tua will be back. The Patriots, you got to go trade for a wide receiver. But the Jets, you could have your quarterback be anywhere from Aaron Rodgers to Jimmy G and Derek Carr, and I do think it will be Jimmy G. In the AFC North, it's the Ravens for me. because I just don't know what's going to happen with the Lamar Jackson contract situation. Like, I think he'll get franchise tagged. Will they get a deal done? I lean more thinking no than ever seeing Lamar getting a long-term deal in Baltimore. Not that he isn't deserving, but it's now been 2 years and we're in our third rodeo on this. Like, for the Bengals, there's not a lot of intrigue going into this offseason. The Steelers, it's development of Kenny Pickett. The Browns, it's okay. How much rust does Deshaun Watson still need to knock off? And the AFC South, I would say it's a tie between the Colts and the Texans, because the Texans right now have the second overall pick and the Colts have the fourth overall pick, and it's who's going to be the quarterbacks that they wind up trading up for or they end up just drafting in their current draft slot. In the AFC West, it's definitely. Oh, see, here's the tricky part. I can't say definitely, actually. It seems like the Broncos have already made their big moves, so I would lean that the Raiders are more intriguing because we just don't know who their quarterback's going to be. But there's a ton of intrigue on the Broncos, especially with what they've done in the coaching staff, especially if they add Rex Ryan. Now, you go to the NFC East. I would say that the most intriguing team, Eagles, their roster's pretty solid. Cowboys, you may want to add another weapon. The Giants, it's okay. Who are you going to bring in? But I do think Daniel Jones and Saquon will be back. It's actually the Commanders. Because my level of intrigue is this. Is Sam Howell really going to be a starting quarterback come week one? The NFC North, it's the Packers. Will you finally trade Rodgers and go to Love? I think they will. In the South, the South's brutal. No Brady with the Bucs anymore. Panthers have a good defense, not enough at offense. Saints, they could be in the market for Carr. That's where I think Carr winds up. And the Falcons, if Jackson does get traded, it wouldn't surprise me if all those teams in the NFC South are alive for Jackson. Because remember, almost all of them but Tampa were alive for Deshaun Watson. They just couldn't get the... Yeah, Watson just ended up not wanting to go there, and he got the guaranteed money from Cleveland. So I guess the most intriguing team in the NFC South would actually be the Bucs, just because it's, okay, who are you bringing in to replace Tom Brady with a roster that is solid? And if you bring in the right quarterback, you can win that division next year. And then the NFC West, the team I'm most intrigued by in the West, in just terms of offseason storylines, like the Rams, we know who's coming back. The Cardinals, it's tough to get really excited about them, even though they bring in Jonathan Gannon. You have Monty Austin for it, whatever that means, because you don't know when Kyler Murray's going to come back. Hopkins probably going to get traded. It seems like they're in a transition period. Here's what I'm most curious about in the NFC West. Yes, obviously it's the answer of Trey Lance and Brock Purdy, who's going to be your starter. But I want to see what the deal looks like for Geno Smith, who had a really good season, comeback player of the year. But for a guy like Geno and also Daniel Jones, I want to see what is the years and how much is the money for both those guys on their contract. All righty. We've been talking about the Broncos. The report is out there from Ian Rappaport that Rex Ryan is talking to the Broncos. He could be the favorite if things go well, and it's trending maybe in that direction that he's going to be their defensive coordinator and making a return to the NFL. Last week on Radio Row, we would have played this conversation in its entirety, but then we had some rude PR people cut us off after like 2 minutes and 19 seconds.
So you do have three minutes left if you want to pivot to the last question, please.
Now, that's actually a very good job by Nick Theodora, but that's not the interview I was talking about. That's when I got cut off by a handler when talking to Aaron Donald. So we weren't able to air this Drew Brees interview last week because it was only like 2 minutes and 20 seconds or whatever it was. Because a PR person sat him down and then tried to pull him off, even though it wasn't anything confrontational. So we don't have the back end of that audio, but I wanted to play it since we're on in New Orleans right now. We're also on in Colorado right now as well. This is soon-to-be Hall of Fame quarterback, right? In Drew Brees, top 10, top 15 quarterback of all time. Has that great relationship with Sean Payton. Talking about the future of Sean now in Denver, and also working with Russell Wilson.
It's kind of funny that he's officially the head coach of the Broncos right now, but he's fulfilling his Fox obligation, right, of doing the Super Bowl stuff. So I'm excited for him. I knew that, you know, when he stepped away from the Saints that, you know, it would be really hard to be away for too long. And obviously he's been chomping at the bit to get back and to do what he does best, and that's to coach and teach. And he's such a great communicator, and he'll be such a great asset for the Broncos organization. And obviously they have a very talented quarterback in Russell Wilson. They've got a lot of good players on that roster. And I know they're looking forward to getting back to their winning ways, and he's certainly the guy to help them do it.
Is that bizarre or going to be bizarre for you? And I know it's a business, and he was away for the Saints for a year, and now you're in a different stage of your career. But when you tune in and watch football in the fall and you see Sean in orange, will that be bizarre for you?
I'm going to love it. No, I mean, look, you know, life goes on, and guys, you end up kind of going to the next chapter. A lot of guys go to the next chapter, whatever that chapter is. And, you know, for him, it was, you know, stepping away for a year, but you knew he was going to get back into coaching. And, yeah, I mean, of course, you know, when I knew him and he was always wearing black and gold on the sideline, right? And I was the guy that had a chance to, you know, he was in my ear, you know, every play. I think what's going to be fun is just watching that offense and watching how he builds that around Russell and, you know, the things that they do and just how much similarities there are. You know, maybe there will be some differences. I'm sure there will be. But it'll be fun to watch.
How much good football do you think Russell Wilson still has left in him?
He's got a lot. I mean, look, his best years are yet to come, or it certainly has the ability to be. I mean, what is he going into year 12, I believe? So I know for me, I felt like the kind of hitting that sweet spot of, you know, your experience, knowledge, wisdom, and your physical abilities were in that range of, you know, year 10 to year 18 or so, right? So Russell Wilson is right in the heart of that. So take the system, take the coaching, apply it to his talent and his skill set and ability, and it's the recipe for a lot of really good years.
So there you go. That was Drew Brees with us quickly last week talking about Russell Wilson, how he still believes in him and why Sean's going to be a really good head football coach for Russell Wilson at Russell Wilson's stage of his career. That Broncos team, it's just one of those things where I just wonder how we're going to be talking about them next year. Because that locker room, even though they put on that fake push at the end of the year to try to say they support their quarterback, there was a lot of problems in that locker room. You bring in as good of a coach as you can in Sean Payton this offseason. The defense is solid, and now they may be bringing in Rex Ryan to be their defensive coordinator, which is another story. But you look at that division, it's tough. Especially with the Chiefs going nowhere. Herbert and the Chargers just got a little bit of a taste of the postseason. We'll see if Keenan Allen's on that roster. If Rodgers winds up with the Raiders, you know, that makes that division even tougher. Like, Marco, I really wonder, are we going to be talking the Broncos next year as this great redemption story? Or is it going to be another year where it's like, wow, they were disappointing?
I feel like it's going to be a problem because I don't think Sean Payton and Russell Wilson are going to mix. So I think it's going to get worse.
Why don't you think they'll mix, just wondering?
Because I feel like Sean Payton's offense is more about precision and timing and quickness and getting the ball out. And Russell Wilson seems to be adverse to doing that, and he wants to extend the play and be able to make something happen on the go. These are two different things. They're two different philosophies. And Wilson's been at his best when he improvises. Sean Payton's offense is not about improvision. It's Sean Payton. I mean, Drew Brees was all about precision,
yeah,
timing, quick. That's when his
accuracy,
offense,
yeah,
works at its best. And I feel like unless he gets Russell Wilson to completely buy in, I have doubts on if he can get him to do that.
Now, I saw they were out for dinner together Super Bowl week. Russ and his family and Sean, they all went out for dinner. The thing I'm most curious about is how do you get those guys in that locker room to believe in Russ again? And then also, is Russ, who wants to be a star, that is clear. Mm-hmm. Like, he went on the Dan Patrick Show years ago and said, I'm sick and tired of sitting at the Super Bowl and watching other teams there and it not be us. And I think he got away from his original good intentions because he thought he had to be the guy, right? Let Russ cook.
Right.
And Pete went to him and Pete said pretty much, yeah, you're scoring all these touchdowns, but your interceptions are also up. So did you have to run the ball as much as Pete wanted? No, but there could have been a way to find the middle ground. But it seems like Russ wants to be more than just a football player. He wants to be that global icon type of star. And if you have Sean Payton coming in, who already, not, it was not the press conference, but it was in the breakout after the interviews in the press conference saying, yeah, your personal coaches, the guys that aren't employed by the team aren't going to be in that locker room. I wonder how much initial resistance is from Russell Wilson, because if Russell Wilson has pride about what he does, which I think he does, he needs to get back to his roots. And I just wonder how much damage is done where you think of yourself all the way up here, but you played all the way down there. And to get back up, like even in a middle ground, you're going to have to change your ways if you're Russell Wilson.
Here's the question. Is Russell Wilson willing to swallow a bit of his pride to get back there and do it Sean Payton's way? Or is he going to have to want to do it his way?
And you know me. I hate this answer. I truly don't know. But if I had to lean, it would probably be the way of Russell Wilson thinking on his own.
See, I feel like he's won a title. He went to two Super Bowls. He didn't get the credit for it. He was early in his career. The defense was the big catalyst.
Him,
and it annoyed the hell
sensitive.
Out of him. So, Sean Payton walks in. It works. He wins a title. It's Sean Payton's offense. He does everything Sean Payton wants. Is it Russell Wilson or is it Sean Payton? So I feel like Russell Wilson in his mind still has that same concept of, I need to be the MVP and win a Super Bowl. And I don't think that'll work doing this with Sean Payton. So unless he swallows his pride and is okay with everyone giving credit to Sean Payton and resurrecting the career of Russell Wilson, I don't see it working.
Here's the one difference, though, if he does get a job done in Denver. He's the biggest name. He's the biggest face on that team. So, you know, outside of the coach. So I do think he would get his credit a player standpoint, because you look at when they won those championships, I remember being at that Super Bowl, ironically, up against Denver. It was all about that defense, and then it was all about Marshawn Lynch, and it was all about Pete Carroll. And then it was like, oh, yeah, then there's this really good quarterback, Russell Wilson. If they win a Super Bowl, I know they have a good defense, but they don't have elite playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. It would be because I think Russell Wilson balled out, but I hear what you're saying. People are going to say, oh, it was more the system of Sean Payton.
Where we're at, reactionary. Yeah. He's going to go from the disaster that was under Nathaniel Hackett to Sean Payton to winning a Super Bowl. The credit's going to go to Sean Payton. Bottom line, period. It's going to be Sean Payton's offense. Look what he did with Russell Wilson. Not Russell Wilson was able to do this with Sean Payton. It was Sean Payton got this from Russell Wilson. I don't know if he can handle that.
And here's the thing. If he was still in his younger years, okay. Now where you are in this stage of your career, you win, and with how mature you should be. Personally, I wouldn't give a rat's ass who gets the credit. I got a ring on my finger, another ring on my finger. I'm at a parade. I give you the middle finger that way. That's how I would approach it.
I'm not arguing with you, and I would have been like that the whole way. But here's the problem. It didn't work the first time.
Yep.
He didn't like it the first time. So what is – I'm going by
his
history.
And little did we know how much that team really got fed up with him, because all those players in the Seahawks, those former players that say, oh, yeah, they like Russ, they danced on his grave this year.
And again, too, it didn't work with Sean Payton on the first day, where it's not going to be like that. That's foreign to me. I'm not going to have it. Did he talk to Russell Wilson about this? I feel like they got off on the wrong foot right from the start. So Wilson's going to walk in and be like, we're doing what now? What do you mean we're doing this? Like, why didn't you come to me and talk to me? I'm your best player. I'm your highest paid player. You're walking in like this. So I don't know if this is going to work, because I feel like Peyton's stubborn and I feel like Wilson's stubborn. And one of them's going to have to give. And I really have a hard time believing it's Sean Payton who's going to walk in and say, this is my offense. I've been doing it for 30 years. It's going to be my offense.
And you got two guys that are paid a bunch, and you got two guys that they gave up a king's ransom to go bring them both in. And also, let's not avoid the biggest part of the conversation. Even if they get Russ back to like a good level, that's still probably not good enough to beat Kansas City in a big spot.
Right. But again, though, if you get it working, the Denver defense is good.
Yeah.
I understand how good the division is, but if you get it working and you get into the playoffs, it's a different story.
Anything could happen.
Yeah, and then you roll the dice at that point. But I still don't know if these two guys, with their personalities, and again, with the fact that they don't, it's not automatic. It's not like, well, it's the personalities, but the systems are simpatico. They're not.
Yeah.
They're absolutely the opposite of what they like to do. Russell Wilson is not all about three steps, back foot hits the ground, and boom, the ball's out. That's not his game. That's never been his game, though. So I feel like Sean Payton's asking him to do something completely different, and I don't know if he wants to. So if you don't want to, that's hard to me all of a sudden that you're going to be able to just flip the switch and, yeah, it's going to work for us. Unless you buy in, nothing works.
Now, I know our boy Hickey, who last year predicted the Broncos were going to be Super Bowl champions and Russ was going to win the Super Bowl MVP and Nathaniel Hackett would be a top three coach last year. I remember when this conversation first came up that Sean was going there, like, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, right. I said, I guess the success they need to have this year is just make the playoffs. And I think that's a successful year. And then I asked him, do you think they would make the playoffs? And he said, yeah, I do. And I said, wow, you're doubling down. Because right now, I just look at the AFC, and also with all the things that you just said, I can't sit here and tell you they're a lock to make the playoffs. Like,
you have the four division winners bare minimum. So let's just say it's the Bills, it's the Bengals, it's the Jaguars, and then it's the Chiefs. The Chargers should make the playoffs once again. And then if Lamar's still with the Ravens, they should make the playoffs. And I know each and every year there's a team that surprises, there's a team that falls off, that happens.
Right.
But at best, you'll be a wild card team next year. And if I had to give you the pecking order right now in that division, it's the Chiefs 1, the Chargers 2, and then I guess you go Broncos 3 and the Raiders 4. But the moment, if let's just say the Raiders trade for Aaron Rodgers this offseason, I would then put the Broncos in the 4 spot. So it's the right move to bring in Sean, but it's still a tough ask this year if you're expecting them to make the playoffs.
Again, the Sean Payton hire is a good one. I feel like Russell Wilson needs a guy to tell him what to do.
Yeah.
But he needs a guy that tells him what to do, but he has to buy into it. And I know that's maybe talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I don't know if there's someone that has the right attitude that Russell Wilson wants to hear. Like, look, you're my guy. I want you to win MVP. We're going to build everything around it for you to get to where you want to go, but you got to do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton's not going to walk in and say that. I don't buy that. He's going to walk in and say, this is my way. You're going to do my way. It's different. I feel like you got to get him.
Especially who his mentor is, too,
right,
Parcells.
You got to get him to come in and buy in. And Russell Wilson can still be salvaged. I think his career is not done, but he has to be 100% full in. And I don't know if you're going to get him to do that. And I don't think Sean Payton's the right guy to do it.
And that is ultimately the multi-million dollar question with the Broncos offseason. How long does it take for Russ and Sean to actually develop that synergy? And how long does it take for them to get on the same page and be talking the same language? Because if they're not, then there's going to be a rift, then there's going to be some ugliness.
And I would implore anybody in the Russell Wilson inner circle and Russell Wilson himself, look deep down.
Yeah.
Think about it. You got a short period of time. Your career is winding down. You want to go out the way you went out last year, or do you want to swallow a little bit of pride,
yeah,
get some wins, get a chance to get back into the playoffs and see you can roll the dice one more time, and to be damned on who gets the credit, just worry about doing what you're supposed to do.
And I know we got to take a break, but I've never seen a player go from being that respected to just getting dragged like that over just his play in the NFL that is not at the end of his career, like still has some years left like you're talking about, in 1 year. From where that was so excited when he got traded there, it's at the like 6-7 weeks in, everyone was clowning Russell Wilson.
And
so
again,
if you want to continue to be clown, then you don't listen.
And you could flip it just like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that easy.
Yeah.
If you just buy in. The system works. Buy in.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, let's hear from the Kelce brothers on their New Heights podcast. Talk about their mother in a Super Bowl recap.
The moment I saw Mom is when I got really emotional because, man, it was so awesome. It was...
All right now.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was awesome for, you know, she was on top of the world for a week.
She was the heavyweight champ, man. She was on top of it, and she shined the whole time, man. That was the coolest part. Mom, you absolutely killed it. Dad, you've been killing it.
Yep. It was just so cool, man, to see, you know, her get to celebrate in that with us.
Yeah. I'm with you, brother.
It was an awesome moment. Just so happy for her and so happy that, you know, she got her moment. Dad got his. So, yeah, I was the only, ironically, you know, you lose the Super Bowl and you're crying after the game and they're not tears of sadness. You know, they're tears of joy.
That's just awesome. Yeah, these two ferocious football players who are maulers just becoming mama's boys. And there's nothing wrong with being a mama boy whatsoever, but that was just great. And the Kelce family were the real winners of Super Bowl week. That was just awesome audio. So give the Kelce family a stock up. Drew Holiday, he's an all-star this year in the NBA. Last time he was an all-star was 2013.
last night against the Celtics, had 40.7 assists, was 8 of 12 from behind the arc, just had a masterful shooting night. So give a stock up to Jrue Holiday as the Bucks take down the Celtics in OT. Rex Ryan could be making an NFL comeback as defensive coordinator of the Broncos. That's what's out there right now via Ian Rappaport. I love Rex's personality. I think the NFL is better when Rex Ryan's in it. So if that's the way that the Broncos are going to go, we'll have to wait and see. I'm all in for Rex Ryan coming back to the NFL. Stock up. And finally, another hiring cycle where Eric Bieniemy does not get a head coaching job. And now you hear this conversation. He may need to go take the Commanders offensive coordinating job, which is a lateral move, to show that he could do it on his own away from Andy when there's been a bunch of other coaches that have got hired and have done far less in the NFL. I just want to see this guy be a head coach just to see what he would be like as a head coach with all the talk has been. And as crappy as that sounds, that he has to go to the Commanders maybe to be their offensive coordinator and make a lateral move, I think that's actually going to be the way that he's going to have to get a head coaching job, because really the last like 2 years, I just haven't expected him to get a job. Fair or not, that's the reality of the situation. So stock down to Bieniemy not getting hired as a head coach. All right, that's all we got today. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
The new Dunkin' Brown Butter Toffee Latte raises the bar on what a latte can be. It's got bold espresso and subtle brown butter and toffee flavor notes. If it were a shelf, it'd be the top one. The new Dunkin' Brown Butter Toffee Latte. Elevate your latte. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.